Local people, local stories. From KYW News Radio, this is the All Local.
I'm Jay Scott Smith, and here's what's happening right now. Governor Tom Wolf and other state officials are giving a progress report on Pennsylvania's ongoing battle against opioids. The governor feels the Commonwealth has been making serious progress.
We can take great pride in going from a state that was doing virtually nothing to a state that the American Medical Association says is one of the leaders in the country. We've bent the curve in terms of deaths from opioid overdoses.
KYW's Andrew Kramer went to Kensington, known as an opioid epicenter here in Philadelphia, to see if people there agree with the governor's assessment.
Governor Wolf says that Pennsylvania's response to the opioid crisis has been called a model for the nation. When you hear that, what do you think?
Stay down here for like about 4 hours and see what's going on.
Here is Kensington. That's Charles Wainwright, who's been living in this neighborhood for the last 17 years. He thinks any positive comments from the governor on the opioid fight don't apply to Kensington. In fact, if anything, he says the problem has gotten worse over the years.
Even while you and I were walking up the street, we saw syringes and the caps.
Exactly. Yep.
Charles sees this daily. He even pointed out to us people along Kensington Avenue shooting up in the open.
And I noticed you said to a few people who looked like they were using, you know, keep your head up. Is that something you do often around here?
Yeah, I try to, but it doesn't mean nothing.
Governor Wolf admits the Commonwealth does have some work to do in combating the opioid crisis, even as progress is being made. And staying in Philadelphia, the Kinney administration says it's finally met its goal of awarding 35% of city government contracts to minority-owned firms. Here's KYW's City Hall Bureau Chief Pat Loeb with more.
The annual report from the Office of Economic Opportunity says that of $706 million in city contracts, $254 million went to businesses owned by minorities or women. Deputy Commerce Director Iola Harper credits constant outreach both to city departments and the business community.
I've had some subcontractors tell me that they really feel a difference out in the field with prime contractors wanting to engage them more. So I'm kind of excited.
Harper acknowledges there's a lot left to do, but says she hopes this is the beginning of a cultural shift. This year also saw a shift in which group got more contracts. 23% went to minority-owned firms, 12% to women-owned firms.
Harper says the increase represents $254 million in contracts, which is actually $25 million less than the total for 2018. Meanwhile, a former Villanova football player is suing the NCAA, as well as some local schools, claiming that student-athletes should be treated as paid employees. Here's KYW's Paul Kurtz.
Trey Johnson claims the NCAA and its member schools are the employers of student-athletes and, therefore, should pay them. His attorney, Paul McDonald, compares the athletes to students on work study.
Both work study students and student athletes have timesheets that their supervisors are required to maintain. So the schools effectively treat the student athletes like work study students already. They already have a system that would easily, where they could easily place in the system with work study students. They just simply aren't paying them like it.
In violation of federal law, according to McDonald, who believes the NCAA treats its student-athletes more like unpaid prison inmates.
The NCAA recently voted to amend their longstanding rules against athletes profiting from their own images, and it comes in a weekend where two high-profile athletes at Ohio State and Memphis were suspended for rules violations. Meanwhile, we all turned our clocks back as daylight savings time ended last weekend. One New Jersey state senator is looking to keep the state in daylight savings time permanently. Here's KYW South Jersey Bureau Chief David Madden.
Enough with this spring forward, fall back routine. Lawrenceville Democrat Shirley Turner introduced the idea of sticking with daylight saving year-round back in May. Not only is the process confusing to some people, there are health reasons to consider.
Researchers have shown that this has an adverse effect on the body. It affects your metabolism. It disrupts your heartbeat. It hinders you in terms of your performance because there's sleep deprivation as a result.
A few states have already approved the idea, but they're required to get a federal okay before making any change.
Turner's bill has been stuck in committee, but she'll likely reintroduce it in the new legislative term. Arizona is currently the only state that doesn't observe daylight savings time. And by midweek, it's going to look and feel a lot more like January than November, as a cold front could bring some snow to our region, as well as record low temperatures. Tuesday, we'll see falling temperatures and rain switching over to snow, while Wednesday looks to have a high temperature of just 34 degrees with wind chills in the teens. Be sure to bundle up. And that's the All Local. I'm J. Scott Smith. Listen live anytime on the radio.com app and on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play KYW News Radio.